This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Good morning, folks. Friday, November the 7th. You have today and tomorrow to still participate in early voting in New Orleans city elections. You have a number of bond financing proposals that are on that ballot, as well as runoff elections in District A and District E. So some very important decisions to be made by the voters in the city of New Orleans. So please, please, please take advantage of your right to vote. We've got a great lineup for you today. We'll visit with Mel Dussel, Dawn Busters, Kiwanis. Those are the folks that are frying the turkeys. I get turkeys every year. I give them out as gifts. I use them myself. They are really easy to do. They come with cooking instructions. Easy to order, easy to pick up. We'll talk about all of that with Mel Dussel. Mike Haas joins us, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Saints versus the Panthers. Very important game for the Saints. We'll talk about that with Mike. And Chris Blair joins us as well, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. They go into Bryant-Denny Stadium. 6:30 kickoff, LSU at Alabama. Alabama number 4. LSU coming off of 2 crazy weeks here, having nothing to do with playing football. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We all know about the Lindy Boggs Medical Center that's been down and out since Katrina. There's an opportunity as it relates to this bond package that's on the November the 15th ballot to do some things to that property that are going to be absolutely critical in moving forward for the redevelopment of that and for the neighborhood. We'll talk to Paul Flower, the managing member of Mercy Partners, who recently purchased that property about 3 or 4 years ago and has been trying to get that back into the stream of commerce. We'll visit with Michelle Biggs, St. Tammany economic segment. We spend time with folks from St. Tammany. She is the vice president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. They have involved themselves in this initiative about civics and how it's important to society and important in our schools. And we'll talk about what they're doing about that. And in the back half of this hour, J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Councilman at Large and the City Council President. We'll talk about the negotiations with the bond financing, the revenue bonds, and talk about that process, how that's going, and where we find ourselves at this time. So last evening, I want to talk about this, and the reason I'm going to is not only because I graduated from the University of New Orleans, but there's a lot going on, and UNO finds itself in a transition period. That is critical. It's a defining moment for the university. And there are a lot of folks like myself who have graduated from UNO that hopes that it continue to hold on to its identity as one of the finest learning institutions in the state of Louisiana. And I think it's very, very important that we recognize same and that we don't go off in a half-hearted way relative to the future of this university. I and others. I think, you know, many, many folks have said this about UNO being responsible for really building the middle class here in so many different ways, and the importance that it has to our local economy. And we've heard that a lot from a lot of the folks that have enjoyed their time at UNO and recognize what it means to them. They have a relatively new president, too, and she has actually done an incredible job, Kathy Johnson. And we hope that there's certainly that she'll be able to walk us through this very difficult process, one with many challenges. She has righted the ship over the past couple of years. She's been able to, you know, get to a balanced budget. It's not easy. You know, we don't need to really make a lot of changes, in my view, in that regard. I mean, she is very well respected amongst folks like myself, a number of alumni. And I was able to talk to a lot of folks last evening. So last evening was the Homer L. Hitt Distinguished Alumni Gala. It was the 40th of the year of recognition of alumni of the year. And as we went through the program last evening, I said, you know, I think I'm going to talk about the recipients, because this, talking about the recipients, each one of the colleges, there's four different colleges that has an award that's given out to someone, you know, that has distinguished themselves in that area, as well as athletics. And then there's also the Norma Jane Sabiston Award for the Distinguished Young Alumnus, and the Homer L. Hitt Distinguished Alumni Award as well. But as we went through it, I don't know, it's just, I sat there and I said, you know, these are so many untold stories about this precious university that we have right here in the city of New Orleans that we don't always talk about. You know, you've heard me say we stare the obvious in the face and we walk right around it a lot of times. And it occurred to me, that's what we're doing here. And we don't talk enough about the folks that have gone through the University of New Orleans and what they ultimately ended up becoming and what they gave back to their community, whether it's here or elsewhere, and what they've been able to achieve. This is just a small sampling. One night, right? One night, seven individuals, right, that were honored last evening. But it'll give you a little flavor of how important this school is to our city. So the athletic department honored Wayne B. Herrera. He was there in 1972-73, played baseball on the baseball team. He had a 40-year career in real estate. Wayne Herrera serves as an executive managing director at Newmark in Columbus, Ohio. Now, he only manages 2 million square feet space, of real estate space, right? Herrera played two seasons at first base for UNO and made the Dean's List four times. He spent 9 years in professional baseball with the Red Sox and the Yankees organization. He won the International League's batting title in 1977 and was named to Topps AAA All-Star team that season. He later won two Silver Glove Awards for defensive excellence in the outfield. He was inducted into the New Orleans Athletics Hall of Fame in 1990. In the College of Sciences, John Ruther, 1976. Ruther served as president and chief executive officer of Eurofins Analytical Laboratories in New Orleans for 17 years and just recently retired. He began his career as an analytical chemist. His broad experience in water, sediment, and tissue analysis helped advance Eurofins contaminant residue methods in complex matrices like meat and seafood. He was instrumental in forging industry academic collaborations, including internship programs for UNO undergrad and graduate students. Now, these are only just brief synopsises of what these people have accomplished, but I'm telling you, it just goes on and on. The College of Liberal Arts and Education, Peter Halley, he graduated in 1978. Halley's an American artist and a central figure in the neoconceptualist movement of the 1980s. Known for his day-glow geometric paintings, Halley is also a writer, the former publisher of Index Magazine, and a former Yale professor. Halley received his Master of Fine Arts degree at UNO, finishing in 1978, and remained in New Orleans until 1980, and now lives, works in his hometown in New York City. This gentleman, his artwork has been featured in the finest museums all around the world. And I think there was a list of maybe 8 to 10 that you would all recognize, of these world-renowned museums. Just absolutely incredible. Then the College of Engineering, the Dr. Robert A. Savoy Award, Henry Singer, 1969. Now retired, Henry Singer had a lifelong career with the federal government, ultimately served as a director of safety, health, and fire protection engineering for the GSA, Public Building Service, and led the development of a nationwide policy and programming. For his groundbreaking work, Singer was awarded the GSA Administrator's Meritorious Service Award 3 times. He is a longtime UNO supporter and has established 2 scholarships to ensure a transformative UNO education for future generation of students, regardless of their financial means. In the Henry Bernstein College of Business Administration, Daniel Crum, 1987. Crum currently serves as the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer for the Kansas City Chiefs. In addition to the club's finance, strategy, data analytics, and accounting departments, he also oversees the IT department, which serves both the Chiefs and Hunt Midwest Enterprises. They're the owners of the Chiefs. For his work, Crum was recognized by the Kansas City Business Journal as a 2016 CFO of the Year. And he's also the proud owner of 3 Super Bowl champion rings. Then we go to the 2 highlighted awardees, awards that were given, the Norma Jane Sabiston Distinguished Young Alumnus Award. Edgar Duke Chase IV. He serves as the executive chef and operator of his family's restaurant, Dookie Chase's, which recently received the 2025 James Beard Award for the American Classic South. He is also the owner-president of Chase Hospitality Group and Chase Concessions, LLC, a partner in the Chase North and a proprietor of Leah's Kitchen and Duke's Burgers. Chase received his MBA from the University of New Orleans in 2009, following degrees at Dillard University and Le Cordon Bleu Paris. Chef Duke is active in his community and serves on several nonprofit boards and commissions. He has received numerous recognitions and awards, including a UNO 25 award in 2022, which recognizes and celebrates high-impact businesses or organizations owned or led by UNO alumni. I was really impressed. Mark Romig leads a fireside chat with the recipient of this award and the Distinguished Alumni Award, which I'll talk about in a minute. His comments, one of the most articulate young men I've heard in a long, long time. And his messaging was so spot on so many different fronts. But again, it was one of those moments for me where I said, you know, these are the untold stories that we need to talk about the graduates of the University of New Orleans. And they are emblematic of how important this university is to the city of New Orleans. Now let's move to the 2025 Homer L. Hitt Distinguished Alumni Award recipient. Kimberly S. Cook Nelson. Now, she has an interesting story. She talks about her family saying, you're definitely going to college. You're going to college. You're going to college. You're going to college. But there's one catch. We can't afford to send you to college. So you're going to have to figure out how to go to college. And she tells the story about how she went about trying to figure out how she was going to get to college. She ends up going to the University of New Orleans on a Patrick F. Taylor Scholarship. She graduates and receives a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering in 1994, goes on to get a Master's of Engineering Management in 1997, and a Master's of Business Administration in 1999. Now, Ms. Cook Nelson was recently named Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Entergy, where she has overall responsibility for safety, power generation, power delivery, capital projects, incident response, system planning, and other businesses in the operations portfolio. The only Fortune 500 company in the state of Louisiana. She began her career as a design engineer and worked at Entergy's Waterford 3 nuclear plant. In fact, I think they said she participated in the design and implementation of every nuclear plant that Entergy has in the state of Louisiana. And she's held several leadership positions, leading to her new Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer role. In 2023, Cook Nelson was named the Robert A. Savoy College of Engineering Distinguished Alumni of the Year and currently serves as a director of the University of New Orleans Foundation. In 2024, she spearheaded a crowdfunding campaign engaging Entergy employees who are UNO alumni to donate to refurbish a laboratory with employee gifts and gifts matched by Entergy. I hope you don't mind that I did this morning. But I thought it was appropriate again because of the transition that UNO is going through right now. And I think there are a lot of different opinions floating around as how UNO is going to be redefined one way or another. I certainly hope, as a graduate of UNO, that we keep it strong. It has been strong. It was not an easy school. It was a tough school, but it was an endearing school. And I think it's a central theme that a lot of UNO graduates talk about. And there is a love for this institution. I think we have an opportunity right now to make it better than it's ever been, if that's what we desire to do so. So my call to the audience today is for all UNO alumni to get involved, to make your opinion known, to make your time at UNO known to folks and how important it was to you in your life and where you've ended up today. Because this is a defining moment for the University of New Orleans. It truly is. We were part of the LSU system when I graduated from there. Probably a good number of the 80,000 plus graduates of the University of New Orleans. It went into the ULL system, and now it's coming back to the LSU system. So we have an opportunity, hopefully, to set a path that's a lot more stable for us with stable leadership under the tutelage of Kathy Johnson, the president of UNO, who's done remarkable things there. I heard so many incredible things about what she has been working on at that university from so many folks that I spoke to last evening. And I just wanted to share that. That call to action of UNO alumni to come together to make sure that the place that we spent, I spent a lot of years there, folks. I was a part-time student at night. I mean, I was a non-traditional student, right, for the most part. But the fact of the matter is that it was incredibly important to me. It was affordable. It gave me the opportunity to get my undergrad and to go on to law school. And without that opportunity, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so we all owe a lot to the institution. So let's make sure that we all come together and we step up and play our small part in the future of the University of New Orleans. We'll be
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Right back.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Councilman at Large and the City Council President. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. Happy to be here.
You guys have been working overtime on top of overtime, meeting with state officials, trying to get things aligned. Y'all met the other day in Baton Rouge. Tell us about the outcome.
Well, essentially, the meeting in Baton Rouge was about trying to come to some agreement that a fiscal administrator would not be necessary, though we understood the seriousness and the scope of the crisis we're currently facing. It was really to try and realign with the state and figure out where, on what areas we could agree and we could move forward together to try and basically not just get out of this current fiscal crisis that we've inherited, but also to build upon it and rebuild public trust in the city budget and how we move forward.
So obviously, the state had legitimate concerns. I think y'all would agree to that. Y'all obviously have concerns. So what did y'all craft? What path is this going to go down?
Well, essentially, as you know, before the bond committee meeting was canceled and the fiscal advisory committee was canceled, we'd already passed a series of resolutions, including an investigation by the legislative auditor as well as the inspector general into how we got to the state going back to 2022. But more importantly, we did a first file of creating a fund that would exist in ordinance where the RAND payment, the revenue anticipation notes would go into that fund, and both the auditor and the council would cooperatively ride shotgun on that fund to make sure that as money was drawn down for that fund, it was specifically for payroll and not for other uses. So basically, we tweaked the language on the fund to build some more support around it to show that we were not going to treat the revenue that we're getting from the state in a non-prudent way. And we basically, that coupled with the charter amendment that we'll be working on over the year to kind of really restructure how the city does budget and to build in a legitimate budget process where when the council and the mayor come to an agreement on a budget that's agreed upon, that A, the budget is the budget and that you can't spend money on items outside of the budget, and B, that if money is moved around in the budget, it requires a transparent, forward-facing process with the council's involvement. We really demonstrated that we are willing to really change the entire budget process to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, and I think the biggest selling point, JP, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not being this is not meant as criticism of anyone, but you guys ended up being surprised by a lot of different things, and you just need to avoid that, right? I mean, and I don't think anybody likes to find themselves in that position.
No, I mean, that's 100% correct. I mean, the challenge was, and I mean, I've been making this criticism for almost four years, that when I came from state government to local government, and I realized that there were certain things that just didn't jive. The first, obviously, was, and I know you and I have talked about this, Noel, the fact that council committees are kind of BS, and you can't actually kill something in a council committee. It's more like a rote part of a process to move things forward. And the second issue was that the budget is one giant suggestion where the council and mayor negotiate, but the charter gives the mayor and the administration unfettered authority once the budget has been passed to move money around and reconcile accounts with no council oversight. Now, typically, and it goes back to my whole like visceral dislike of the mayor emperor argument, if you've got a mayor that's on their P's and Q's, then that reconciliation, if they're keeping track of how money is spent, it doesn't necessarily blow up the budget, though it's not transparent. However, if you have a mayor that doesn't keep track of cash flow, for example, it creates an absolute catastrophe. And the way that law government should be structured is to work both for the best possible person in the job and the worst possible person in the job. It has to really have a check and balance on both. And what's lacking in our government, we did not know overtime was running tremendously over because no one was publicly tracking overtime in a way that anyone could follow. In fact, what we found out during the last month is that, Newell, and you'll appreciate this, as overtime was drawn down from the city's coffers, no one, including finance, was checking it. So basically, when you would put in your overtime numbers in brass, it would pull the money out the bank account, and no one in the CAO's office or CFO's office had to sign off on monthly overtime. So that is how the cash crunch went from the huge deficit to the separate cash flow implosion.
Yeah, and I mean, the dangerous thing about that, obviously, is that means that any other line item could be manipulated in the same fashion, right? I mean, if it worked for overtime, overtime is what I would refer to as somewhat of an extraordinary expense. So that should, like, rise to a level of review every month. Some of your others, maybe not so much, but that means that could shuffle all kinds of things through without, if they're not looking at it and not accounting for it on a monthly basis. And I know that the council never did get monthly reports. So
we never got monthly reports. And I mean, there's just, the more we've dug into and working with the auditor as to kind of how a budget, because as you know, when Mayor Landrieu left office, the budget was less than $700 million. The budget has, with federal money from COVID, blown up to almost almost to $200 to $250 million more than it was under the Landrieu administration, and yet outcomes remain the same. And when you start really peeling back the levels, because I can't stress enough, Noel, what's been really disturbing is that line items in the budget, in a lot of ways, don't exist insofar as you see some, for example, you see some line items in the budget regarding expenditures for unclassified employees. Yet now that we're starting to get a breakdown for unclassified employees inside of the Cantrell administration, I'm going to give you one unclassified job and your brain's going to explode. There is a CEO or executive director of the Rivergate.
The Rivergate? It's gone.
Yeah, you know the thing that got demolished by Harrah's?
Yeah.
There's literally a person who is identified as a personnel individual making over $100,000 a year as a CEO or person over the Rivergate. Now, I don't know. We're trying to figure that out right now, because whether the position was filled or not filled, it exists inside of the mayor's portion of the budget as an unclassified employee. And as you know, unclassified employees are basically roles inside of the executive branch that are made up to kind of fit a certain purpose. Like, they'll create new positions, like a deputy mayor that'll be a new unclassified employee, but those are front-facing people that you see on a website with specific goals. We cannot figure out where this Rivergate position came from, it's budgeted for a tremendous amount of money, or what it does.
And no one's been able to tell you if they're paying a person in that position?
The request is in. We're waiting for a response. We just figured this out when, during the transition period, they disclosed the list of unclassified employees.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
But interesting. As someone who's a native of the city and native of the area, the moment many of us saw Rivergate, we're like, the Rivergate ain't there no more.
Right.
So how can someone be over it? I mean, literally, it doesn't exist.
Hey, if y'all keep that job, send me an application, please.
Well, I can tell you, as you can probably gather, in my conversations with the mayor-elect, whoever is the CEO or executive director of the Rivergate, their services would no longer be necessary in the next administration. Yes.
Obviously, for sure. Yes, so right. The legislative auditor then plays a role in this process, which I think he has been really fair and balanced in the way that he's approached this. I know him personally. I know him to be an incredibly competent individual. Obviously, there's a level of comfort for you guys with the role that he will play.
Correct. I mean, basically, he's been instrumental. He's the one that we called in the council request to come in to actually show what the actual deficit was, because the administration kind of gave us a sliding scale. And he's been instrumental in providing really the specific expertise, since he looks at all budgets in the state of Louisiana, including the legislature's budget, in helping us, A, identify where we have some massive inefficiencies, and B, how we can make our government more efficient. The real issue, which is a good thing, is that part of the condition of getting the RAND loan, the money going into this fund, is not just those monthly reports. He's going to be required to be provided with weekly reports as far as cash spend. I mean, it's a really working with Mike, we really have kind of created kind of a laundry list of data that has to be provided so that the legislative auditor can track spending in real time to make sure that spending that actually happens is concurrent with what the council has agreed to and done in a transparent way. Because remember, the thing which people really haven't grasped is that the $125 million we're getting in those notes, that covers payroll. We have vendor payments. We still have to look at tax revenue that's coming in and figure out, using that tax revenue, how to pay all the vendors that currently have outstanding notices. So even though this $125 million gets us out of the cash-strapped position we are to make sure people get paid, we are still far from out of the woods. We are like, we were in the middle of the woods with no map. Now we're like off center with a map, maybe to get out. So we're not out of the woods yet. And it's really important to note, as you know, that part of pulling a revenue anticipation note means that we have $125 million prospectively less next year in the budget. So though it solves this year's problems, it's at the expense of next year's budget being even slimmer than it was already.
So this highlights something, and I noticed that it wasn't given much traction, and something that the legislative auditor noted and said, and Mike Wagesback, that is, that there needs to be some remedial actions taken immediately, some cost-cutting, some other things. How willing has this administration been thus far to do so? And is the council pushing on that issue?
The council is pushing very hard on that issue. As you know, I was the person who created the New Orleans Revenue, the Youth Recreation and Cultural Fund, which funds nonprofits throughout our city doing tremendous work. We took it off the table. And that's literally the council's largest expenditure annually for the last 3 years, because we take the budget crisis seriously. There is a lot of mixed messaging. You saw from NOLA.com reporting that the CAO at one point was telling employees there would be no firing and no furloughs. And for us, we're like, listen, we're all trying to avoid firings and furloughs, but you can't just say that with absolute impunity, because we don't know how bad this is. And so there has been some missteps. For the most part, there has been a willingness to make cuts. But I think part of the disconnect, as you can imagine, is part of what the administration made very apparent early on was they wanted to tax our way out of this. And as you know, for a very basic mechanical level, if we even created new taxes and fees, many of them we would not receive until middle of next year. So there was no way to like.
There's no appetite for that. That's wasted energy talking about that.
Well, to your point, part of the disconnect we've had in some of these conversations is that is the council's position, in that we have to make sure that we've eliminated every inefficiency we can find and how we are spending existing revenue before you look at new revenue. And that's part of where Mike is so valuable, if you've got black holes in your budget that's eating all your money and you feed more money into the budget, the same inefficiencies will eat all that money. It's the same reason why government has grown so exponentially over the last couple of the last two terms, and yet services haven't improved. So until you fix the inefficiencies in government, I mean, part of this whole process really, and I mean, I can't say this enough, there is a really, really reasonable lack of trust on behalf of the public in government's ability to manage its budget and resources. Until we work with Mike and have a healthy forward-facing budget that we know we can pay for, and then we can make this case to the public as to in the future, if we need revenue for specific enhancements that will improve quality of life, that's down the line. You don't make that case while government's kind of collapsing in on itself.
Yeah, you know, the thing that it causes me yet even more concern, you know, when the CFO is telling people, look, there's not going to be furloughs. The quicker you right the ship, right, and you take the remedial actions necessary, the quicker you'll get back on all fours as you know, the government finances moving forward. And one of the easiest ways to do that, although painful, I get it, but I think is going to be ultimately necessary, and this is just my opinion, and it may not be yours, is, you know, one day a week furlough, because that has immediate impact on cash flow and spend. And my experience has been in watching many other governments do it. Fortunately, we never had to do it. But the reality is that it doesn't have the proportionate impact on the delivery of the negative impact on city services. You can get over that, you know, in the short term. But man, it has a huge impact on your numbers, and you right the ship right away. And in the end, you end up saving more jobs. And, you know, if there's a goal to save more jobs, that's one of the easiest way to go about doing to get that immediacy. I know it's something everybody's looking at. It's just my two cents. I'm just disheartened by a CFO who would go out there and say that, because that's an incredible tool. It's not one you like to pull all the time, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary to save their job. A little pain in the beginning for some reward in the end, right? It'll be interesting.
100%. I mean, the main issue to look at is, like, right now, furloughs, certainly if you look at the history with Mitch Landrieu post-Nagin, you look at Bartholomew post-Dutch Muriel, when you're trying to write a budget and you're building a budget, and next year, certainly that's going to be on the table. The challenge is right now, in the window we have of these 2 months, it's like you're literally drinking water through a fire hose. And it's like now, we're simultaneously trying to get through the end of the year while building next year's budget, and we all need to be saying the same things.
You know, the difficulty, though, is right now is the best time to do that, furlough. That's the tragic situation that we find ourselves in, is that if we had a forward-leaning, credible leader mayor, she would be sitting down with the council talking about these options right now, because it'll pay back exponentially for when the new administration comes on. If you are one that thinks that the entity's interest outweighs the individual's, right? The entity being the city of New Orleans.
Well,
that's what credible leaders do.
I mean, I will tell you that it is very interesting trying to thread the needle on any given day with...
Oh, I can't imagine.
The conversations that we're having regarding how this year's budget affects the next year's administration, because you want to believe in these conversations that the current administration cares about the next administration, but sometimes it's hard.
Oh, to be candid. Well... you know, it's not hard to read the room. sometimes. Absolutely. As always, truly appreciate the conversation with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. The listening audience appreciates it for sure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Noel. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. That's J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Councilman at Large and the City Council President. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.